All right, everybody, welcome to the August 17th, 2022 MOT Charter School Board of Directors meeting. I'd like to call this meeting to order at 6:44 p.m. If we could, I would love for everybody in the room to go around and state your name for the listening audience. So, Kelly, I'm going to ask you to start, and we'll just go this way.
Okay, Kelly Swab, board member.
Ned Southworth, head of school.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Campanelli, assistant principal here at the high school campus.
Shannon Noll, principal here at MOT Charter High School.
Shira Jackson, director of equity, inclusion, and belonging.
Mitch Weiss, director of student services.
Lou Savino, board member.
Jen Taylor, board member.
Ali Khan, board member.
Rachel Dallas, assistant business manager.
Business manager emeritus.
Sam Sullivan, board member.
All right, guys. Thank you for coming. If we could have a look at the May 18th minutes, please. If everybody could just give their attention to that, that would be great.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I second that with the small addendum that we need to fix Shira's name spelling.
Shira, how do you spell your name?
S-H-Y.
S-H-Y-R-A.
Yeah. Good. All right. There's a motion on the table to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Minutes approved. It looks like we can skip public comment because it doesn't look like there's any public here today. All right. Academic excellence.
All right. First thing that won't actually be discussed now, but will be later, you'll notice we have an interesting different logo there in the center of the screen.
Yay.
So in case you haven't heard, this year we'll be celebrating our 20th anniversary. So 20 years as a school, which is a pretty amazing accomplishment. So we've done some things and we're going to do some things to honor that and celebrate that. But first and foremost, we actually created a couple different logos to use to kind of pop around on the website and email signatures, things like that. I will share more of that in the head of school report. So a couple things to start with, some additions or changes to our leadership team. Some are new, some are not so new. So we were actually just talking earlier about Shira, our new K-12 Director of Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging. And in a little bit here, we're going to let Shira chat a little bit about some of the things she's been doing. Shanna is not new as our high school principal per se. She's been doing it since January. But kind of this is her official kickoff to her first year at the helm. And John Campanelli, our assistant principal, also not new per se, but again, this is the new team ready to start us off. And then not in attendance, but we have a new high school dean of students, Danielle Lanier. So we'll talk a little bit, I think, in a couple minutes about some different roles and responsibilities and how these new and different positions, slightly different positions, are going to be used to our advantage at the high school campus. So a couple topics that we're gonna run through here. Again, as I mentioned, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And then these are some of our areas of focus for the year, culture and climate. Our core values, obviously, these are all very interrelated. K-12 connections, things we can do to enhance and develop those connections. And then finally, school safety and security. This is not the kind of mission, vision, fun kind of stuff to talk about, but this is stuff that unfortunately needs to be a priority for us. And always, not to say safety was not a priority, but we are going to recommit and kind of reinvigorate those efforts this year. So I'm not going to read through all this, but I just kind of put some notes down of what I have observed Shira's already been doing. But I'll let her chat for just a minute or two to kind of share some of the work she's been doing in the last couple months.
Okay. So definitely a lot of those things have been happening there. Just a few things I want to be more specific on. So we've got culture of care teams that have been established at each campus, which will look pretty similar. We've got about 5 staff members that will be working on that, including our deans will be involved in that work too.
And can you just
yes.
explain what that
I'm
is?
I'm getting ready. Yes.
Wrong.
So basically what we'll be doing is engaging the staff in SEL and DEI and community building. That's what a lot of that's going to be about.
Okay.
So through advisory, we're going to be helping to develop lessons. So everyone's kind of doing the same thing and you know, building on those three areas that I just talked about. At the K-8, we already have SEL time established. So what we're doing there is just going to, we're not going to make weekly, daily lessons, but we'll do weekly lessons for them too, so everybody can kind of be on the same page with some of these topics. We also have new counselors in each of our buildings. We've got 2 at the K-8 and then 1 at the high school, and they're awesome. We're excited about who we have stepping up. I've also established counselor K-12 PLC for everyone, so we're all going to be able to bridge and talk with each other, so those meetings are already scheduled. For the entire year. And then another piece, and you and I have talked about a little bit, is the equity auditing and strategic planning. So something I've been doing is just, you know, researching some other consultative services too to kind of help us work through some of that as well. So that's where we are to start.
Right, and some of that, it's great. A, it's the right thing to do. B, it works to some of our K-12 connections. So a lot of this, it all does blend back and forth. Mm-hmm. But, you know, things like that equity audit, the
right.
consultative services, you know, these are things that are not inexpensive. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is the kind of stuff we want to make sure we're talking about it at the board level to ensure that we have kind of, we articulate what
yeah.
our needs are.
Right.
And I think, you know, the audit is the first step. You know,
right.
what do we really need?
Right.
But then once we decide, once we kind of have some data in front of us, mm-hmm. you know, we're going to need to be able to, you know, put our money where our mouth is,
right.
so to speak. So, again, that's why it's important that we are... you know, including these conversations at the board level.
Shara, could you just tell us who is working in the counseling office at both campuses?
Oh, absolutely.
I'd like to know the names.
For sure. So we've got Kaylin Co-Francisco. She is a 1-year counselor, so she already has some experience. And then we have Jeffrey Foster. And then here we've got Candace LeBron, who's already here with us, Andrea Scally, and then Lauren Hinesley, and she's actually from Polytech, so she's got years of experience under her belt as well.
Okay.
So we've got some pretty good, pretty solid teams.
Okay, great. So it's 3 at the high school, 2 at, and then you.
So yes, in an overseeing type of thing,
right.
not meeting with kids regularly or anything like that.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Great.
Right.
Well, I'm excited about that because that seems like, yes, exactly the direction we should be going.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Excellent. So next area, culture and climate, and as I kind of said, you know, we're going to use this, the 20th anniversary is a great opportunity to kind of do think, you know, to look backwards a little bit. I think a big part of that is kind of think back to, you know, who we are, why we were founded, what makes us who we are, you know, and really, you know, be able to highlight what makes us unique. And I think that's something that we're going to see reflected in everything we do. And I just put up a couple little bullet points about some of those culture and climate things. Obviously, some of the things that Shira talked about already are part of that as well. You know, Terry has been working on this house team structure at the K-8 just as a way to give the kids, you know, kind of something to rally around and to focus on and, you know, ways to, you know, accentuate positive actions and activities. So that's something that's still in the planning stages. And I know, you know, her plan is once we kind of kick the year off, She'll come and be able to share some, you know, some anecdotes, some stories, some pictures, some, you know, some kind of some work product from that, so to speak. So, you know, that's an exciting exciting new endeavor.
And that was sort of born out of all the different trips that the K-8 faculty took to Ron Clark Academy, because they do house teams there. And so a lot of our faculty was exposed to what they were doing. It's super exciting, and it got kicked off for the faculty last year.
Yeah.
As one of our PD day things. Yeah. But I think it's gonna be awesome to make K-8 even more of a community than it is already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, along those lines, we talked a little bit about advisory, and actually I'll let Shanna and John step in here, talk about some of the advisory, you know, the new advisory program, extracurricular opportunities, changes, things like that.
So one thing that we really felt was important going into next school year is to allow all students to have access to clubs and student groups during the school day. We bus from quite a wide range of areas, and so having these things after school was tough to get our kids to be involved. And if our focus is culture and climate, we want every student to feel invested in this school and feel a part of it. So we, the high school's always had at the end of the day something that they call advisory. And it was just time for kids to kind of catch up on schoolwork and just maybe get some extra help here and there. So we've really taken and established a true structure to that time. Every Monday that we are in school in attendance will be a set advisory time, and that student will stay with that advisor for the 4 years that they're here at the high school. The culture of care team is going to be, and that's made up of teachers here at the high school as well as some of our counselors, our dean. That will have a set structure to it. Every student in the building will get kind of the same focus that day, and in some days the exact same lessons. That advisory time will focus on SEL, social emotional support, but it will also focus on academic advisory. So, you know, one of the things that is part of, you know, public schools is that we have something called MTSS, a multi-tiered systems of support. We have to support students academically, social, emotionally, and it's massive, which, you know, the demands of the school are just growing and growing. So this is a kind of tier one approach to supporting our students, not only academically, but social, emotionally, and it's getting teachers to have a really active role in that. And then the other 4 days of the school week, students are engaged in clubs or student groups, or they'll have a study hall time. So we're making a very big distinction between a study hall and an advisory time. We're making that time very sacred to our school day. And as well as hiring the new position of the Dean of Students here at the high school, that's something that we talked a lot about in regards to what the needs are here at our school. And again, this role would focus on supporting students at all levels, the students that are, you know, making great choices, and sometimes our students that need support in making the right choices. So this is a role that will help set up intervention plans for those students, whether it's attendance, you know, making house visits to families that kids aren't in attendance, and really just a big support for the students, the staff, and setting a real structure to what that support looks like here at the high school.
So one question I want to ask, will some of the findings from the dean of the school will go into the counselors too? The reason why is that because, you know, the social, emotional,
yes,
the motivating factors are going to be there, right?
Yeah. So the Danielle Lanier, who's stepping into this role, is coming to us with a wealth of knowledge and a lot of experience in positions like this. So we're very lucky and grateful to have her bring her expertise into this role. But you're absolutely right. The Dean of Students and our counselors are going to be working very, very closely together, as well as with us.
But the thing is that, you know, you will not have that cycle. But having three cycles, you have one dean for about, 480 students. But you have three counselors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a dean cannot meet every student, but a counselor can meet more often with a student to help the aspects of the social side, the emotional side, to help that.
Well, what else is going to help that is that advisory time, because
okay,
that happens every single week with every one of our students. So it's like a 1 to 25 ratio as opposed to, you know, the 1 to massive ratio that the dean would be.
Yes,
so that
exactly.
Structure will support that work.
Okay.
So anything you want to add to that?
I would just say that there's power in having at least one. And we know our students have multiple, hopefully. but at least one connection to a staff member in the building. And this advisory time will certainly enable that to be a consistent, trusted adult to review schoolwork, to take a look at, you know, identify plans that they might need unofficially with just conquering whatever hurdles they have, or certainly to celebrate the good things that they're doing, just to kind of keep them on focus.
Okay.
But working in hand with the dean, working in hand with the counseling, I mean, us as a community is very important, and we honor that, to work together.
And we have thought about the home visits, right? We have thought about, you mentioned about home visits.
If there's a need for that to happen, absolutely.
And we have thought about the guidance, well, because I'm more worried of the safety of a dean of students rather than anybody else.
Yes.
Them going to somebody's house.
Yes.
Okay. That's our... As a board member, for me, that's the utmost importance, the safety of a dean going to an uncharted neighborhood.
Yeah, that's appreciated. There will definitely be structures and protocols around anything of that nature.
Okay.
I'd just like to state for the record that Lily and Latan is down here. Mm-hmm. Okay, hello. Great.
All right. All good?
Yes.
So next, we talked a little bit about core values. This is just a little graphic I popped up there from, we created this a couple of years ago. Community, respect, innovation, collaboration. So these are, in essence, the words we try to live by. So this is something that we are going to kind of bring center stage again. We're going to lean on these as we kind of help. After COVID, it was a challenge for kids to kind of come back in the building. And, we saw everybody, struggle to remember how to interact. So I think we can lean on these core values to help reset expectations, to help reset how we treat each other, how we talk, how we work together. And I think just kind of at a very superficial level, we're going to put signs around, and we're going to talk about this, and we're going to make sure, we put these right in front of our students and families. Because I think, this is what we want to live by. I don't know if you guys want to talk a little bit about that, or if not, it's okay. So you get the idea. This is something we're going to work as a leadership team at both campuses. But we've had more conversations recently with the high school team about ways to kind of infuse these back into our daily life here. So that's something that we're gonna focus on. And then K-12 connections. Again, we talked earlier about the importance of creating that bridge across campuses. We are two campuses that are basically 15 minutes apart, but we are one school. We need to make sure we think of ourselves as one school with two campuses, as opposed to two schools. I think that's who we are, so that's the right answer. That's from a practical standpoint, that's a reason that all of our eighth graders come and become ninth graders, because they think of this as a different school. And of course, we want our students to have choice, just like everybody else, and we want them to go into attend high school in the school that is program that is best for them. But I don't really want them to think of it as like, ooh, I get to choose in Middletown or Apo or MOT High. No. You already are an MOT student. You might choose to go somewhere else. It's kind of just a mindset shift. But some of the things, we created this the Aspiring Scholars program last year. I guess that program is redundant. It's already in the acronym. But this is where we offer some of our 8th graders the opportunity to attend and take classes at the high school. That was very successful last year. I don't know if you want to chat about that at all.
Yeah, last year we had 8 students participate in that. Of those 8, 5 of them chose to come to the high school. And I would also say that the feedback from the families and the students proved to us that this program is beneficial, because it helps spread the word of so many great things that were happening here at the high school. Because it was over 15 minutes away, sometimes it feels like a world away. So that program helped with the perception, and also making the reality of what actually happens here a little bit more in the forefront of our families. This year we have 12 students participating in that program from the K-8. So we've almost doubled it. We started with, I think, 16 or 18 students. We're down to 12 just due to family preference. because it is an option. We invite them, and then they choose whether they would like to participate. So we have 12 of them coming here this year, and I think it's going to be, I think it's just going to continue to build that bridge between the two schools.
What's the criteria for choosing them?
So a lot of it's academic. Okay. Academic with some behavioral components. So some of it has to do with their assessment data, whether that's SBAC, NWEA, grades, as well as behavior and
plus the courses they're taking. They are, also, right?
Yes. Okay. Yep. So there is it is very academic focused on the selection of students that we invite.
And I know you'd also talked about, really as part of kind of, not the recruiting, but as of, presenting this to the middle school students, you and John have talked about being more of a presence in the middle school so that people are aware of it and get to know you. Yeah.
And I would say, we had a couple middle school soft baseball games here. John was out there umpiring them. So even just that presence of, being a part of the middle school community, I think is going to help us because now he knows quite a few of those 8th grade boys because he was out there umping their games.
Absolutely.
So that is, it's small, but it makes a big difference. So that's, that's always just going to be something that we're going to continue to try to get down there more. And having, a strong leadership team here, having the Dean of Students, having some more support people, we're able to kind of get down there a little bit.
Even if it's just talking to 7th or 8th graders during their lunches, I mean, this is who I am, this is what we got going on, this is our team, like this is who you can look forward to helping you as you get that diploma.
And I wouldn't even, I would even say 6th too, if you can. I know that's asking a lot, but I feel like the beginning of the year for 8th grade, but then after that, 7th and 6th grade, probably on the focus.
Yeah, and I do think the ASP program has had a great impact on our families because they're talking. And our families are close. They've been together since kindergarten at the elementary school and the middle school. So they all talk about the program. So, and I think they're super, when they do get the invite, they're very excited about it. Our students are and our families.
Great. Then finally, school safety and security. We've spent some time this summer revamping our emergency preparedness plans, our documents. There's a whole series of online resources to help with that. John has actually been instrumental in doing some of that work. He's attended a couple trainings and is kind of helping us gear up for the next year. And some of the things we're going to do, we're going to kind of go back to, we're going to create campus level committees that are really focused on the needs within that particular building. So it creates better awareness, that it's just more people in the know, and then will allow our training to be that much more effective because there's an expert on every hall. There's a lot of things we can do to just provide that level of comfort. I mean, God forbid, hopefully we never need to do anything with this, but we want our teachers, our students, our families to feel confident that in the event of an emergency, whatever it is, everybody knows what to do. And I think we have done a great job of responding to whatever it might be, but you can always be better prepared. So, we're going to really focus this year on doing just that, on being better prepared. As I said, or as it says up on the screen, so John and Eric Walter at the K-8, are going to take lead in pulling this program together. So that's it's a good opportunity for them to help us, but also to grow and develop and do things like come to this meeting and present, although John's not presenting today, I'm the one talking, but I just tend to talk too much. But. All right. So that is it for that presentation. Okay. We probably covered equity inclusion already, would you agree, Shire?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. Do you want any governance items to discuss with them?
We do. We have a couple of things under governance. The first is that Dave Wetlington has announced that he is going to retire when his term expires in November of this year. And Linda Jennings has retired effective immediately. So what does that leave us with? That leaves us with two possible seats to fill.
should we want to do that. And in addition to those two seats, we need to talk a little bit about the process for selecting the certified teacher to be the high school perspective and a certified teacher to be the K-8 perspective. Those are in addition to those two other positions. So Ali Khan has created an online application form for these two seats.
If you want to open it up.
So it's pretty basic. The form is pretty basic, but it gives those who do apply the chance of really an open-ended text box to talk about whatever it is that they'd like to talk about. So we have that. So what I really need is a committee to be on the selection committee. There's no telling how many teachers will apply. In order to be charter compliant, though, those teachers have to be certified teachers, and they have to hold a Delaware certificate. So I hate to exclude anyone, but that's just the reality of how the Delaware Charter School Law is written. We need to talk about, Ali Khan is going to lead the process, I think. And if anybody wants to jump on board, Sam?
Yeah, I'll work with Ali Khan. I helped with the last
perfect. So I would actually choose not to have a bigger committee unless you guys want one. It's going to be work. And it's also going to be a little bit of diplomacy. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to just leave it with that, but I would like to set, I would like for the application part to be presented at PD, if you guys wouldn't mind, on both campuses, or even when you have your back to school breakfast or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that way you can make the announcement to everybody. Everyone hears the same thing. Everybody gets the link via an email or however is best for you guys to work that.
Yes, I have a good night on that one.
But I would like to talk about deadlines. I would really like this committee to make their decision by October 1, because I would really like to bring the new members on for the November meeting.
So October meeting, we'll have them for approval.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough.
Is that good?
Okay? Yeah. Okay.
Okay, you'll go with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. That's thing number one. Thing number two, I'm going to make a motion for an amendment to our bylaws about board membership. And what I would like to say is, I would say if you cannot, help me, Alec, what do I want to say?
So I think I told you just before the walking in. I think what we need to do is that we need to hold more responsibility on the board members. And board will vote on it. Some of the things will be non-voluntary, say for a committee leading, activity leading, just an example, right? Jen said that Ali Khan is going to lead it. It is given to me. If I don't take it, and if I have a repeat incident within a year like that, hey, I'm not going to take it, the board has decided, then my extension will be reviewed as a board member. Meaning we want to help the school more. We want to help we want to help the admin committee more, because going to the school will be in the day-to-day operation. We want to help the school admin committee more, take some load out of it, and any board-related activity, we as board member would like to lead it. That way, we are accountable for it. Even if some security features is there, if a board member is needing it, even though the school is doing it, we will be responsible to make sure that we get the staff and they're talking about it, getting it, and bringing it to the board. And I'm just giving an example that is a wrong, might not be there, but we would be doing it more of the work like that. So governance or any finance, we will be driving the work for saying that, hey, this is what we need from the business, this is what we need from the admin team to get our job. I think that's what we want to rephase the board, make us more activative, make us more tangible to the board.
So to boil that down into something that's a little bit more measurable.
Yes.
I would like to propose that if you have missed two or more board meetings within a 6-month period, that your seat is potentially up for non-renewal. And I also want to expect that you participate in actively participate in one committee.
Yes.
Whatever that might be. Right now we have faculty, and then it will also be parent or community board selection committees, however that works.
So if I summarize from my understanding, I like your proposal that one amendment is every board member, any board member misses two or more meetings within 6 months, seat is up for non-renewal.
Yeah.
At board's discretion.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The second point is every board member should be at least actively part of a committee, leading it or
doing
it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, that is my motion.
I second. First year.
So let me just think about this for a second.
Yeah.
So in a 6-month period, that's 3 meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you have
two or more.
Two out of three.
Missed two out of three.
Yeah.
We could have more.
Yeah.
I'm just wanted to clarify my.
You're good. Just make it right in the notes, huh?
Yes.
Red.
Yeah.
The exception's going to be there.
All right. Somebody, so there's a motion with a second on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Unanimously carried. Great. And I would say to start immediately. And then on that note, I just want everybody to be aware that October is looking to be a major meeting, I hope. So that's for the board and for admin to know. But hopefully we'll be bringing on 2 teachers to the board, and then potentially, which is the next part, what we want to decide to do about community or parent outreach for the 2 seats that we have available.
I would move into a community office, like a not a parent, we talked about it.
Okay. So...
we already have a parent.
Okay. So Alakon's proposal is to have at least 1 community member, so somebody who is not a parent.
Yes.
What do we think about that?
I think I'm thinking out loud. I was thinking about it that we need to have a lawyer. If you have something, I would lawyer.
You know, the reason why I'm saying is that it'll help us draft things better.
Sure.
Or the second one would be with so many kids, maybe a doctor, psychiatrist, somebody with that skill that will help us guide. So I think feel that areas, I'm thinking that we should look into those in addition to everybody else.
So then this brings back the age-old argument, right, about how do you get investment in your school versus how do you get diversity of strength in your leadership team, right? So I think then if we're going to say that and we're going to say that we're looking for diversity and strength, I don't necessarily think that we should count out parents, because it may be easier to get a doctor or an attorney or whatever else it is that we think we might need out of that pool.
I agree.
Okay. So are we agreed that we're going to fill those 2 seats?
Yeah, I think we have to fill them.
All right.
I think we have to fill them sooner than later. So
all right.
We should have that as part of the October process.
All right. Does the current board selection committee want to take that on as well, or?
We can take it on, but the due date of October 1st might be a little early for that part.
Okay.
Sure. Well, have to solicit the community, right?
Yeah,
right.
I think if we go
all
with
right.
the teachers
bringing 2 on
for
in October.
October,
all right,
and then maybe we look either, because Dave's up in November, right?
Yes.
So maybe we look at November or December having it finalized.
Okay.
So I think we need a woman in that committee, so I would like to be
there. Yay, Lillian!
We like
her. You're such a good sport.
It's not, see, I am a basic human guy. If you want to tell a woman, you know, then somebody is getting an undue advantage.
Right.
So, you know, you say, hey, I want a part of it, end of story. You know, you just, then you then what about the rest of the genders and everything? You open the door.
Are you putting potential meetings?
This is when we currently meet.
Yeah, so okay. I think I want to switch that then.
What
I don't
want to do, I just want to do.
Yeah.
So, do we feel...
I will add October.
Okay, we're not going to change it. We're just going to add October to that.
Yes.
All right, and then November we'll make questionable, because it's always weird with Thanksgiving and all that.
Yeah, but December's the same, so that's why.
Right.
Well, but the question is, the board additions we're talking about there are going to require a little more background and a little more. So the worst case scenario is, even if it took us those 2 months to get it together, so we present them and have them for the January.
I agree.
That's not an issue.
All right. Perfect.
From a timing standpoint.
I'm good, because then we can bring on two, and then we can bring on two.
Correct.
I agree with that. Okay. So everybody good with that?
Yes.
All right.
Sure.
Great. That's governance. All right. Finance.
Can we do that?
Yeah, please.
Finance, we had a meeting earlier this evening. We reviewed the transactions as well as the budget. We had one question that did come up as part of the transactions. We had a receipt that was not attached to one of the reports, and the business office is going to review that and just make sure that we do not have, that we have documentation for that to support what that transaction was. It was not on any of the reports that we had. Secondly, we did review a few expenses from last year that carried over into this year, but otherwise our projections and budget have carried forward.
We have one more announcement.
Oh, that's right. We are announcing that Kelly Schwab is now our new finance committee chair. That's correct.
Thank you.
What do we got next?
Head of floor first.
Ned.
Y'all good?
You're up.
All right. All right, so again, we have, I mentioned earlier, some different logos and things. So this is another logo you can see there, celebrating our 20 years. It's another take at it.
I would say it's gone by in a blink, but it's been long.
Yeah. So I only have a couple slides for tonight. Provide an assessment update. So this is the state is back to publishing standardized testing data, much to everyone's chagrin who has lived through the last couple of years. But so what I created here was a chart that includes data last year versus this year for MOT, for the state of Delaware as a whole, and also for our resident school district, Appaquinimink. So this just gives it by grade band. You can see ELA, grade 3 to 5, 6 to 8, math 3 to 5, 6 to 8, and then the high school, which is basically just the SAT, math and verbal. We don't have to walk through every single point here, but it's, there's some challenges showing here. There's some good news here. We're in, by and large, we are trending in the right direction. And I think on my next slide, I've got all this pulled together, all grades, math and ELA, and we can see over the last 5 years, so we'll talk more there. But this is, I looked at this just to see, relative change. How did we do compared to the state, compared to our local district? There's some hot spots here that we've got to pay attention to.
One observation, last line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that would be it. Mm-hmm. That would be the one that jumps out.
And it is statewide too, everywhere.
Yeah, Shannon and I, actually, and John and I were talking about this today or the other day, the concerns we have there. But then when I put it on this chart and, you see the statewide, it's maybe not a local issue. It's certainly something we're going to address locally. You know, but to be perfectly frank, a challenge with high school math, you know, so it's based on the SAT, which is in essence Algebra 1. We don't teach Algebra 1, we teach IMP, which is a different program that does not hammer home Algebra 1 skills the way a traditional Algebra 1 class will. So, you know, I think there are great benefits to the way, to our approach. I think it provides a lot of other benefits. It is not a benefit here. You know, this is something we need to talk about. You know, and so, but the strange thing is it wasn't, it's an outlier now. It was not an outlier in years past. So there's more to it, and we need to dig into that and try to figure that out. But that is something we, you know, as a team are certainly very well aware of. You know, and I've already begun conversation about what we can do.
I mean, it goes back to teaching to the test.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right.
But how does that help? You know,
necessarily. Well, or it could be just the focus of the SAT prep class that the kids take.
No, I think I'd much rather do what we're doing,
yeah,
is looking at the children, the subject as a whole,
right,
and building it year over year, and having that intermingling, yep, of the different specialties,
so
where it's not just algebra. It's, yeah,
sure.
So I just have a little anecdotal feedback from my, oh my gosh, she's a junior now. You're old too. You should. But when he was talking about the SAT review that he took, that's part of the driver's ed, and I forget what the other thing is in that cycle, he was saying that he felt like he did not need the ELA questions. He needed the math questions on the SAT review. And I was just wondering if maybe that's something we could look at. You know, like, if you're an ABC student in ELA, then maybe you can elect, because that is the area that he is most concerned about his math performance, and that he felt like he was wasting a lot of his practice time doing ELA questions.
Yeah, I would say that, like Ned said, we've talked about this. This is definitely an area that we want to dig into the data that we do get. You know, this is one score, but really,
right,
just looking at overall how are students doing mathematically in math. So, you know, we are addressing
also, right,
a
couple of things, right? One thing, SAT is not the primary thing that is coming up again and again, right? A lot of schools are going away.
Yep.
Once they have gone, they are not coming back for SAT. UD, Samia started, right? You know, SAT was optional. Till today it is optional for local students. So I'm thinking it is going to be interesting, because how are we going to use that as a big measure, right? We can make it better, but I don't think it is a thing that we need to break heads or come up with something for that, right? Because it is not going to be used, right? We know SAT is partial. The results have always been there, a certain demographic shifts.
Right. I think it's one data piece. Like I said,
yes,
we have other data points we can look at to see if this really is as big of an issue as this number shows us, or is it something that we just need to do a couple little shifts in?
So one of the other things that I wanted to ask in terms of assessments is, I would just like us, if we have already and we determined that it wasn't workable, but I was wondering if potentially we could offer the ACT on campus, even if the kids have to pay for it, but it would be, if you're taking the exam, you're here. If you're not taking the exam, it would be a work from home day, but we make it. I'm interested in that, and it seems like it's very hard to get that scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
To get an ACT test date, and I was just wondering if that is something else that we could offer our families.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's a PD day or something, and we could get a couple of proctors in who could do it,
okay,
when the other kids weren't here. I don't know about that, but that is supposed to be a different measure. And I actually haven't seen what the ACT looks like to compare it to
the
SAT.
Yeah, the ACT, it's really started out as regional tests.
Yes.
The SAT was on the East Coast, the ACT was the
West Coast.
The ACT is content-based,
yes,
so it's, you know, all the different core
your
subject
exposure.
Areas. Right. You know,
okay.
So it's really, you know, you've got generally SAT students who test well might do great on the SAT. Students who have great knowledge might, but they don't test well, might do great on the ACT. So there's certainly something to say for offering it to the students. How challenging that will be, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but it is a little bit hard as a parent to get a spot for your child to test. And I would also love to bake that in on a day, if it's possible, that the kids could do it and we make it a serious thing. And I realize the SAT is covered by the state testing program, so ACT would probably still be paid to test, but all the AP exams are paid to test too. So anyway, that's just something I would like to see.
You certainly look at it.
One pattern I think is just kind of interesting up there, you know, looking at MOT from 21 to 22, other than what we've talked about with the math, there's pretty significant jumps in all those. But that's not true across Delaware.
No.
And it's not true across Appaquinimac.
That's what I said. There's a lot good in this.
A lot.
But there's just one that's a lot bad. I'm exaggerating, but it's something that we're focused on. But yeah, absolutely. You know, our goal was over 2 years, we want to get back where we were. Right. You know, and
we're there.
We're getting there. Well, we'll see on the next slide.
Yeah.
We have a little more room. You know, so again, this is putting it all together, ELA and math. So MOT, that's up on the top. You know, so we were in ELA, we were in the 78% pretty consistently. Then took some time off for COVID, down to 65 last year, up to 71 this year. You know, in my mind, you know, our goal is to be back up at 78 next year. You know, so
it's an interesting time. If you look at MOT, right, I'm being very selfish. We have done better in COVID compared to them, to anything outside.
Yeah.
If you look at it, right, the numbers are all going down for Delaware and Apple.
I would say it has a lot to say about the depth of understanding that the kids had and how resilient their learning was to being out of school. Because, and it goes back to like even the integrated math, right? That's what that program is built around. That's like. Cool. Not to dump a bunch of information in your brain that you remember for the test and then you forget, but to put the information in there with depth so that you retain it.
I also think it's accountability, too. So if you think about what other schools were doing during COVID versus what we were doing, you know, as far as making sure work was turned in and making sure the learning was progressing.
I think we also have great teachers.
Yes.
I would agree with that.
And we lean on them really a lot.
A lot.
Too much. Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
See, it'll be interesting to see APO and DE, how many chapters they skim through and not test the kids in. We can't do that as a charter school, and we have a methodology. They might have skimmed through and not test the kids. That could be the result showing here.
Well, I think that this data is very affirming for the teaching staff, because it's showing, yes, we were in a hole, but what we're doing matters, and it's getting us out of the hole.
Right?
Yeah, and I mean, we are moving absolutely in the right direction.
Yeah.
So they should know that, and they should also know that we know that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a lot of that was, again, you talked about the quality of instruction during COVID, but I think last year there was a lot of effort put in, you know, that, you know, to kind of get us where we need to be. You know, so, and I think it's important to recognize that. So that's a great point, Jen. Thanks.
Okay.
That goal of getting back to where we were 2 years ago, that, just so people know, that is written into our, like our consolidated grant plan as well. So that's...
It's important.
Right. So that, so we kind of made, you know, one big step towards that in the first year.
No, it's a demonstrable...
Now the goal has to be to make that second step and get back to where we wanted to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we'll finish with, we chatted briefly about this during the Finance and Operations Committee, an enrollment update. And you can just kind of see, it's just a three-year trend here. By grade, you can see last year we took some steps to, we over-enrolled a little bit in some spots. We're trying not to do that this year. I mean, we're kind of letting it play out. But anyway, this is just an update. But again, you can see we've got, again, there's one spot in the high school that is kind of an outlier, that 11th grade number. So, you know, that's pretty disappointing to me. But, I mean, in the grand scheme, you know, this is where we were September 30 last year. This is where we expect to be now. That could go up one or two. You never know. Things happen. So, you know, it's 1 or 2%, maybe 2 or 3%. So it's not, think of it that way, it's not huge, but it still feels like a hole in the high school progression.
We go for so, every year.
You know, but still, you know, this year we'll have 160 seniors, which is this coming year we're up from last year. You know, so again, that's been our goal is to keep growing that senior class. But I think this is something we talk about a lot with the high school leadership team. When we are working to take steps to ensure our high school students have the tools they need to be successful. That's academically, that's socially. You know, we build a community they want to participate in. They want to come to school. They want to come back every year. You know, I think we can. We're going to get there. But there's hiccups everywhere, every now and then, and that's we just have to deal with them. But anyway, so these are the numbers as we expect them as of now. And there you go. Any questions about that?
No.
So just some events coming up. None of this is particularly important at the board level other than to know that we're doing it. I suppose people might ask you questions when things are. I hope these dates are right. I got them off the K-12 calendar that we continue to have struggles with sharing it out properly. Internally, not the external calendar, but the internal calendar. But we'll get that squared away. As we can see, our first student day, we give each new class at each campus their campus to themselves one day. So kindergarten will be on August 30, ninth grade also August 30, and then the next day on the 31st, everybody's here K-12.
Have you had any feedback about that?
Not that I've heard directly.
No? I was just wondering.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Great.
And so there's our next board meeting, Wednesday, September 1st, 7 p.m.
All right.
Be there or...
It's cool.
Hey, it's my birthday.
What's your name?
It's my brother's birthday. All right. Thanks. Can we kick back to agenda, please? All right, just a couple things that I'd like to leave everybody with. On the committee front, I would like there to be a board/admin committee to talk about doing surveys, parents, students, staff. I know that this is craziness times, and I don't really want to do it in September, but I want to talk about having a plan in place for maybe January, something like that, at all the levels. It's a little bit more challenging because I think traditionally we did a K-1 student survey because they did the smiley face survey. But I sort of feel like we should have 4 student surveys. This is just, I'm just kicking this out there. K-1, 2-5, 6-8, 9-12, just to kind of get a glimpse of the middle school, right? Get a glimpse of the high school, get a glimpse of the middle grades. I think that is interesting, and obviously the questions would get more sophisticated as we go. But I really would like a committee to look for that feedback. It's always affirming and also depressing, but that's how feedback goes. The second thing is I'd really like marketing. Now the new website is up, which I love. I'd really like marketing to start putting out some kind of a timeline and a plan for this year to do that as well. And then, of course, as everybody knows, it's our 20th anniversary, and we have our little fancy logo going on. But I would also like there to be a joint committee that is anniversary planning to make sure we mingle both campuses if possible, but also have a few events. We've already stated we're not doing one huge thing. We're doing some smaller things. But in the huge category, I'd really like to see a board-led fundraising of some kind for that. And my initial thought is doing something like 20 for 20, like asking every student's parents to donate $20 just flat in cash. The good news is digitally now we could spread that out over 10 months or whatever for families who have a hard time with that. But as a goal, But just doing the quick math about that, it's $27,000 if we did that, if everybody participated. That's not nothing. So I would really like to ask the admin team, my overall thought was that we would have two things for parents to choose from, that their money would go into a bucket. One would be sort of a K-8 focus, one would be a high school focus. So I'd really like the admin team to talk to each other, but then think about what they might want to propose. Because what I'd really love to do, thank you, what I'd really love to do is pick something that is attainable with $13,000 or $14,000, so if we meet the goal, we can actually pay for it. You know, I don't want it to be $13,000 towards a $1 million project.
Right.
Kind of a thing. I want it to be obvious, and I would really love that obviousness to happen like in May when we actually do something with the money, so that the families can see that. But that's just one of the committees that I will be letting you know. Yes.
That's right. You know, I know who was leading, so I just wanted to get it over with.
You're gonna have to write a bigger check than this. Just so you've had three MOT students, my friend. This is a third. A third. All right.
Thank you. I like that.
You're welcome.
I like that.
Okay. So. And then the last thing I wanted to leave the board with is there's a thing going around. Is it 20 short still? there's a thing going around on the internet for the clear the lists. And
I'm going to top it.
Okay.
I normally don't carry cash. Whatever I have, I gave you. Okay. I never carry cash.
There's a thing going around which is clear the list on Amazon for teachers. I've noticed a lot of our K-8 teachers have put stuff on. I realize that that is a little bit more of a K-8 thing than a high school thing. But I would like you guys to encourage teachers to put something on there if there's something that they would like. And I myself have been trying to buy at least one thing off everybody's list that I see from K-8. So I would like to encourage the board to be a little generous.
Where do you
buy
those
things?
For mine, it's just shared on Facebook, so I'm friends with most of the K-8 faculty, so they share their stuff. But when I can't pick and choose with a grade, I pick and choose, like I bought something for every specials teacher at the K-8 building, because I figured that it's all the kids.
Mm-hmm. So there's no way to bid on, though, and just look for MOT or something like that?
So that I don't know, but I'm also not that sophisticated with that thing, but I just... You know,
because it would have
maybe,
to be public on Amazon.
Exactly.
Maybe if we ask them to post on the Facebook page.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
If they pick a few things and they post on that, that would be awesome. But the clear the list thing is going around because some businesses and stuff are going through and they're just buying up whatever is left. So there have been a whole lot of Amazon boxes at the K-8 campus. That I have seen. That is not the normal.
Right.
You know, so just, I just like to encourage everybody to be generous. That's all.
Yep.
And I think who's going to lead the marketing? Because we need to do the survey committee. Who's leading it?
Marketing is my jam. Happy to do it.
There you go.
Sounds like
survey.
So she's doing marketing and I will do fundraising.
Fundraising. What about the survey?
Is there an admin part?
You can only volunteer with funding.
Yes.
I will sign up.
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't.
No, there's no somebody that.
Yeah. All right. So we will ask next, because the survey thing doesn't need to start until the school year is already kicked off. So we'll ask at the next board meeting in September.
No, but we need to nominate, right? We talked about it. Right? We'll nominate somebody. If they don't do it, we'll find somebody else. Then, you know. All right.
I'm gonna nominate Harvey.
Yeah.
Ask Harvey to do it.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Anything else?
No.
All right, so at 7:43, I propose the meeting is adjourned. Do I have a second?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
And drive safely.